Welcome to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. Holly is a wife, mom, coach, and entrepreneur. She wears these and many more hats while running three successful businesses, a gym, online counseling and nutrition program, and commercial cleaning company. She brings a unique perspective to everyday life with her spicy, no-nonsense attitude. Holly helps her clients keep it simple with small tweaks that over time add up to big life changes. With that, let's get on with today's episode. Here's my friend, Holly Cochran, an incredible human you need to be listening to every Monday. Hey, family, friends, and strangers. It's the Monday Matters podcast, and I'm Holly Cochran. So I don't know if any of you are going to find this interesting or not, but you know, if you've ever listened to me for very long, you know that I think that there are better places to live in the world. As much as I feel gratitude every day for the beautiful Qu'Appelle Valley and where I live, especially in this fall season when I'm driving and I can see the changing colors of the valley on the trees, it's a beautiful place. If I have to pick a place here in the province of Saskatchewan, I am so glad that I've picked where I live right now. I also believe that I am not meant to stay here forever and ever. I truly believe that this is not going to be where I live for the rest of my life, mostly because of the things that I value the most, the things that I enjoy, the things that I really want to sort of highlight as far as my lifestyle go are just harder here. I want to be outside for 30 to 60 minutes every single day. And sometimes in January and February, 60 minutes outside has a risk of death. I don't want to have to be risking death in order to get what I want as far as my fresh air needs. And I want to be able to go to a market every day or every two or three days and get fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and, you know, beautiful herbs that are growing year round. These are the things that I see myself doing in the nearest future. I don't know when quite yet, but there will come a time. So in my quest for finding where that next place will be, I started researching, you know, healthiest places on the planet to live. And I came across the Blue Zone. I heard about it in podcasts and Corey and I were talking about the Blue Zone. And I honestly thought that the Blue Zone had something to do with the ocean. Like we would for sure be living near water to live in the Blue Zone. Turns out after watching the Blue Zone documentary on Netflix, which I highly recommend if anybody is interested in those nerdy kind of things like I am, on Netflix, I watched a documentary called The Blue Zone. And it has nothing to do with the ocean, has nothing to do with the blue water. There is a guy named Dan Buettner, I think is how you say his name, a National Geographic fellow and journalist. And he identified and studied areas or regions where people lived for a very long time. So people who, the high populations of people who are living over 100 years, centenarians they were called. So he was studying regions or areas that had a lot of centenarians, a lot of 100-year-old people. And he studied the lifestyle of these regions. And every time he'd find a new region with all of these healthy old people, he would make a blue dot on the map. And then he started finding these blue zones. And they're not all totally concentrated. It's not like there's just one part in the world where people are living a long time. They're kind of spread out. He was just putting a blue dot on his map to indicate these regions and therefore called them the blue zones. So anyway, there's a little bit of trivia maybe you didn't know before today. But if you want to watch the documentary on Netflix called The Blue Zones, it's really quite interesting the similarities that these places have when it comes to their lifestyle, to their diet, to their way of living, to their stress, all that kind of stuff. It was really kind of interesting. So I won't read out where the Blue Zone places are or anything like that, but they are being researched on a regular basis now, and more are being identified. And I also found it interesting that there was a place where there was a lot of older people living, centenarians, people that would, you know, many people in the family would live to be 100. And after the Industrial Revolution and it became more urban and fast food restaurants moved in and conveniences came into play and people were having to work less to get their healthy food, it became less of a blue zone, a less healthy place to live, and less people were living to be 100. So it was interesting that there are still places now in 2023 with all the modernization that we have access to that can be called a blue zone and can have people who are living to 100. But the common denominator amongst all of them is quite interesting. Not all of them are vegetarian or vegan, plant-based only, some of them, but some of them are, definitely. So the plant-based diet or a plant-rich diet, meaning it's not a completely plant-based diet, but a plant-rich diet, was one of the key sort of common denominators amongst all of these blue zone regions, which is interesting. Don't we talk about it all the time? We need to increase our fruits and vegetables, whole foods, things like that. So like, and also the herbs, the amount of herbs that people were using to cook with and use as medicine were also really influential and considered part of a plant-based diet. The other thing that I think all of them did was they had regular physical activity and none of them, not really gym memberships. It wasn't that people were having to go and check that box at 5:20 in the morning with a workout. It's regular, meaning all the time. They walk to and from work, and work is also a physical kind of job. They're not having, you know, mass food trucks brought in with all of their conveniences and all of their clothing and all that kind of stuff. They're doing more traditional labor kinds of work. They're harvesting foods on a regular year-round basis, and harvesting foods physically is demanding, and that physical activity is keeping them from needing to have a gym membership. They're just busy doing things all day long. And I thought that was interesting. Like right now, it's like people have to schedule it into their calendar to get up and move 3 times a week, or their watches have to beep to get them to get up off their chair once in an hour. I don't think anyone's needing the Apple Watch to tell them to get up and move in a blue zone. It's just so naturally occurring in because of the lifestyle. You walk places. You take your paddleboard and you go somewhere. It's just so much easier to get on your bike and go on a beautiful bike ride on a bike path somewhere to, you know, these things are not hard to fit into the everyday. So physical activity, of course, I value it, I love it, and to be able to do it outside all year long is going to be something that I look forward to. The other piece that I found fascinating, which I see in my gym, is strong social networks. Being with people is important for longevity. I don't think this is new. I don't think it's rocket science. But it's interesting that in research, in people who are living to 100, all of them are a part of a strong social network. So think about that. Think about the people that you are surrounded with by choice. Do you choose to be surrounded with people on a regular basis? Do you have that community? Are the people that you are surrounded with are just in your workplace and you're so drained by the end of the week, there is no choices to be made besides self-care and, you know, charging those batteries. You couldn't actually spend time with people you want to choose to spend time with because you're so drained after a stressful week. So you don't have a strong social connection. You have a strong work connection and you might tolerate the people you work with, but it's not the same as having a strong social network. And I'm fortunate that I feel like I can check this box just by the people that I start my morning with. Those are my people. That's my strong social network and it's every day. So that part, I feel like I do a pretty good job with just being here. Another one is the sense of purpose that people, when interviewed, even the 95-year-olds and the 100-year-olds are still contributing to the community. there's a sense of no one's retiring, and there's no seniors' homes. You're not putting the seniors, the elders, the grandparents, they're not being placed in a home like as if they don't have anything left to value and to contribute. The seniors, the elders, those people are valued right up until the moment that they're not there anymore. They were talking about, I don't know if it's a fable or a legend or something, but one of these Blue Zone communities, when they truly started to embrace honoring their elders, is they tell the story of, whether it's a true story or not, I don't know, but they tell the story that there was a gentleman, and the tradition was, as the parents aged and became, you know, useless, no longer useful, you would take the parents to the top of the mountain and push them off so that they weren't a drain on society. And this one gentleman couldn't do it. He took his dad to the top of the mountain and he just simply couldn't do it. And so he kept him at the top of the mountain, and he would go every day with food, and he would visit with him, and he would learn from him. And the gentleman, the son who couldn't do the deed and couldn't push his father off the top of the mountain, became one of the richest men in the town, in the community. And people would ask him, you know, what are you doing to gain all this wealth? And he said, I didn't lose my knowledge. I didn't lose my ability to gain knowledge, or something along that line. He didn't say, I didn't push my dad off the cliff, but he talked something about how he was continually gaining knowledge, which was helping him to be the most wealthy, renowned citizen in the community. And from there, other people learned of him and his dad still being alive, and understood that, you know, maybe our elders are not contributing as much physically to the community, but they still have a lot to offer, and we need to honor that, and we need to learn from it and grow from it. And we all need to become wealthy in knowledge more than resources sometimes. So anyway, I digress about all of that, but it was one of the stories on the Netflix documentary, was how people treat the members of society, those social connections, and the sense of purpose, and how that sense of purpose is never really lost, and how important that is for the longevity of your life. Stress and reduction practices. The other thing that was so sort of interesting to me was how much people honored things like the Sabbath, the rest period, the time to sort of stop working and to pause and to reduce their stress load. And when I mean stop working on a Sunday, I don't mean like the kind of stop working on a Sunday I do. That is not the definition of rest on a Sabbath. The fact that I work my butt off all day Sunday, trying to be able to prepare enough for me to work as hard as I do during the week, is the opposite of what these Blue Zone folks are doing. They're literally resting. They're not cooking for 4 and 5 hours and then cleaning the gym and doing all that. It doesn't look like that at all on their, when they're reducing their stress and they're relaxing. There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of dancing. There's some wine. There's some fun. And it happens on a regular basis. They take the time to pause from the reality of the daily work and rest. And they honor that and practice it regularly. And it was another one of those common denominators. There's 5 to 7 places in the world where most of the people that live there live to being 100 years old. And yet they're not doing it by working constantly. It's quite the opposite, in fact. So I don't know what my Sunday is going to look like moving forward. I don't know that I've completely adopted all of these practices here in Fort Qu'Appelle, Saskatchewan, but I do know that I believe in them. I do believe that the way that we live our lifestyle influences the longevity of our life. I only want to live to 100 if I can live disease-free and in a healthy way. So when you type into Google or into ChatGPT, what is the most unhealthy country in the world? And the USA comes up as the number one most unhealthy country in the world. Makes me think, okay, that overall is probably not where I'm going to end up. Canada's not far behind. It said that just a very simplistic Google search tells me that one in three people in Canada are living with a chronic health condition, like heart condition, respiratory condition, diabetes, mental health condition. One in three Canadians. Those are not the statistics that you find when you look at some of these other places that are more physically active on a regular daily basis, taking a proper rest day. People who are living in these blue zones are living longer and they're living better. And I don't know that I'm going to, I don't know what it's even going to cost for me to move. I don't know if it's a realistic thing or not, but having watched this makes me value what I already knew and want to implement it even more. So as we are clouding up a little bit today and it feels colder and I've got a sweater on and I know that winter is coming, my need to get the good boots, the good mitts again, to bundle up and to get outside every single day, I'm going to have to prioritize that. I know last year I lost it. I just got mad and annoyed and cold, and I stayed that way for months. And I put the happy light on that I got from Costco, and I did all the things I thought I could do in order to sort of manage my lack of outside time, but I know I didn't do a great job of it. And I know that I need to do a better job of it this year. I need to get away and get outside every day a little bit. And so reviewing or watching this documentary on Netflix was motivating for me. And when I start to lose my motivation and I start to forget what I need to be doing in order to, if I'm going to make it to 100, I got to get there in a healthy way. And I'm not in a blue zone just yet. I got to go as close as I can to living a lifestyle of being at the blue zones. I'm probably going to watch this thing again, probably on a Sunday when I'm meal prepping and cleaning, but I will watch it again because I did feel really inspired to do the things that I know are valuable to be doing. I felt inspired to get focused and figure out how I'm going to get those done this winter so that when I do get out and I get to go somewhere where I can do these things on a 365-day basis, I will have the health that will take me there to do it. So, if you absolutely love where you live, you have no intentions of traveling and ever going anywhere, then take into consideration eating more fruits and vegetables, even here in Saskatchewan, all winter long, however you want to fit those in. Being a part of a really strong social network, having a good sense of purpose, reducing your stress, and practicing a rest day, and being involved in some regular physical activity on the daily. These are things that will help you to live longer and to live longer better. Have a fantastic week, everybody, and make your own very own blue zone.
Thanks for listening to Monday Matters with Holly Cochran. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Monday Matters, leave her a review, and share this episode on your social media. Should you have any questions about what you listen to or want more info, reach out and send her a message at K2 Health with Holly on Instagram and Facebook. She loves hearing from her listeners. See you next time.